You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, scientists in Spain say a pair of sandals found in a cave are more than 6,000 years old. And Tony Kornheiser, wow.
Maybe they belong to Louis Carnesecca. What do you think?
Oh, there you go. You take your shots. UB, Louis, guys who love you and you take shots. Shots.
And you know how happy it makes them to find out about that?
You do know.
Actually, I do because I've seen them and they've told me in person. Yeah. And they say, you know, are we ever going to see Tony in person again? And I go, I can't promise. I don't know.
Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, the Orioles win their 100th. Europe races out in front at the Ryder Cup. And is Notre Dame Duke more compelling than USC Colorado? But we begin today with the Detroit Lions beating the Green Bay Packers for the fourth straight time. Beating them in Lambeau last night and beating them convincingly, 34-20. Wilbon, this is your division.
Yeah.
You have laughed at and dismissed the Lions, I don't know, 20 years. Is it now safe to believe in the Lions?
No. No, you don't believe in anybody because they do this for 3 weeks or 4 weeks. No, and the Lions are the best team in the division, Tony. I think, you know, we look at it now, and our small sample size will tell us that the Lions can do enough defensively and get after the passer. They're explosive. They were up in an eyelash on the Packers last night, all over them in Lambeau. In Lambeau, where they now win a couple straight games. Pretty soon, somebody's going to say we own the Packers. That would make me happy. But Tony, no, you're in pro football. First of all, you're one injury away. You're also very easily vulnerable to a slump that affects the whole team because you haven't done anything for a whole season or 2 seasons or 4 out of 6 seasons. You don't have that history to buttress you.
That's right.
And sports are as much psychological and emotional as they are athletic. And so, no, the Lions look like they're there, Tony. They look like they're ready to turn the corner. But I'm sorry, you're going to have to forgive me because I'm going to say, you know what, I got to see what happens at least through October and November before I crown them, to quote the late, great Dennis Green.
So we sort of agree, but we sort of disagree a little bit. You were not on the show yesterday. I sat here and I said, I believe that game last night was a battle for the soul of that division, not just this year, but maybe in the future.
Okay.
Because the Bears stink and they keep getting coaching hires wrong. And the Vikings are tired. And I thought this game would put a lot of pressure on Jordan Love at home in Lambeau. Now, he didn't rise up to it.
No,
he had 2 interceptions, and the Packers had a total of 21 yards in the first half. That's the lowest amount they have had in 40 years. So I think 2 conclusions are inescapable. One is that Jordan Love is not yet on the line with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. And 2 is that the Lions are the best team in that division. I'm not saying they're a Super Bowl team.
They're the best team in that division. No question.
They have now won 6 straight games in that division. That's domination, Holmes. And Jared Goff, you talked about owning things. Jared Goff is now 5-1 against the Packers. So if Aaron Rodgers owns the Bears, Jared Goff at this point owns a little bit of the Packers.
Maybe he's got a
tire share with the Packers.
Yeah.
But you and I both know how terrible the Lions are. Look, the Lions have never won a Super Bowl because they've never been in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
In your lifetime, going back in your lifetime, they have one playoff win.
One.
Since 1957.
I think I was at that game somehow.
You know.
Unbelievable, Tony. Listen, they're easy for most people to root for. If I didn't live in that division and root for a team that is utterly stinky right now, I might be rooting for the Lions too. But I by birthright, I'm excluded. Right. Now, to baseball. The Braves clinched home field throughout the postseason with a sweep of the Cubs, as we saw coming, some of us, who fell a half game behind the Marlins for the 3rd NL wildcard spot. Stop looking at the Cubs. They're done. Those Marlins were leading the Mets in the ninth when their game was suspended by rain to be finished, if necessary, it won't be, Monday. In the AL, the O's clinched the East with their 100th win, and the Mariners are within a game of the final wildcard spot after a come-from-behind walk-off win over the Rangers. Tony, which result was the biggest deal?
Okay, so I don't want to sound provincial here, but I think it's the Orioles. They won 100 games this year for the first time, I believe, let me check this, since 1980 when they were great, and they won it in what I think is the toughest division of baseball.
That was pre-Cal
Just
Ripken.
2 years ago. Just 2 years ago, they lost 110 games. And before that, in two full seasons, they lost 108 and 115. They have completely turned the ship around in just 2 years. And, Mike, they've done it without a great power hitter. I don't think they've got anybody with 30 home runs. And they've done it without a great starting pitcher whose name is known all around. And the guy who did this, the GM, Mike Elias, did it under the radar, and he did it with draft picks, and he was smart enough to keep the manager, Brandon Hyde, even though there were so many losses for a while. I stand back, and I applaud them. I do.
Tony, that's fine. In a historical way, to answer the question in that context, yes, the answer is the Orioles, yeah. I'm looking at it more like right now. Who had the most important win for right now? We knew the Orioles were getting in. The Orioles knew they were getting in. They, yes, there was that nice celebration they even had after. It's great. It's wonderful. But, Tony, Seattle. I mean, you know, look, Seattle's had some misses where they've had some great teams or borderline great teams or potential great teams, and they've just blown it. Going back to, like, 1995, there were seasons in which you thought, wow, Seattle's got something promising here. And now, Tony, they need to defend home. They need to win particularly difficult games at home.
That's right.
They've got this advantage in that beautiful ballpark. I'm one of those people that roots for Seattle because I like going to Seattle. And I just like the ballparks, both of them, the football and the baseball next door to each other. I like rooting everything about Seattle. They needed to win that game. And now they're, you know, they're still bumping up against the Astros. They haven't lost contact with the field right now with one back, Tony. So they needed that, and they need another. If you ask me this question tomorrow, I might say Seattle again. Three back of Texas.
That's been the best race all year.
It is.
And it continues to be the best race. And I will leave the Cubs out of this discussion because the Marlins are not going to have to go to New York, as you well know.
No.
We move now to the Ryder Cup, which was a disaster for Team USA today. They got skunked 4-0 in the morning. Swept clean an alternate shot by Europe, and then with leads in three different matches this afternoon, they got caught late and tied in all three. They go to sleep down 6.5 to 1.5, which may be too wide a margin to make up. Wilbon, where does this day leave Team USA?
Tony, you know, let me just provide a little context about Team USA and something that I thought, you know, usually I don't know which way to go in these things. You know, the European team always has much a greater sense of team than the U.S. does. And there are cultural elements that form sort of that dynamic and reinforce that competition after competition after competition. But this year was different to me. This year, maybe some of it could have been avoidable. The United States, of the 12 members of the team, only three of them played competitive golf, even a round of competitive golf after the BMW, which was here in Chicago, more than a month ago. So what were they doing? I mean, it comes off as arrogant. Meanwhile, all 12 of the European players on that team played competitive golf between that and their own BMW. And it's like, wait a minute, are they taking this that much more seriously? Do the American players erroneously think that practice round and range work is going to pull them even with the team they often struggle with anyway, and a dynamic they struggle with dealing with Team Europe? What are they doing, Tony? So I went into this thinking this morning, and I woke up at 2:00 in the morning to watch live. I went in thinking, we're going to get crushed, and we did. We have so far.
That's an interesting take. I mean, I hadn't thought of that at all. I believe that, by and large, the American players are better than the European players. I believe that if it went down to Sunday and it was close, the American team would be favored in the singles matches. But you can't go down 4 or 5 or 6 on Sunday and reasonably expect to win. Because then you got to win the 12 singles matches 8 to 4, 9 to 3. And that's hard. That's not
These
going
guys
to
are
happen.
Too good.
The Americans choked today. They choked. They did not win a match for the first day ever. They lost 5 outright. They had Max Homa and Wyndham Clark were up 2-2 to go.
Yeah.
And they got tied and they hit bad shots. Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas were up with 2 with 5 to go. They are multiple major winners. They have to close that out.
In the case of Kepka and Scheffler, let me finish the sentence.
Rahm had 2 eagles late, and they were making birdies themselves, and they couldn't win the holes. But it was, they gave away 2. Look, if you asked me who scares me on the European team, if you asked me 3 weeks ago, I would have given you 3 guys. McIlroy and Rahm, because I think they're the best players in the world, and Hovland, because he's the hottest. They were 4-0-2 today. They got 5 of the 6.5 points today.
Yeah.
That's, you can't give that
My
up.
My man
Let's Matty take a break.
Fitz played well, too. Rahm, how about
played
those Eagles?
With McIlroy.
Bombs, coming up, baby.
Should we be more excited about the NFL game that features 2 good teams or 2 stinking ones?
And is tomorrow's Notre Dame Duke game of all things more intriguing than USC Colorado? Toss-up must be next. Rahm. Scottsdale, Arizona's own Rahm. He is
shot,
great.
But everybody thought we could win what we play in America, which is you play your own ball till it gets in the hole. And we didn't win that.
We didn't play.
We didn't win it.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/PTI. That's amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
It's time for toss-up. 2 men enter, 1 man leaves, finishes the show, then goes straight to sleep so he can wake up at 1:35 in the morning.
There you
go. Round of the Ryder Cup,
baby.
What's first?
Toss-up. Which NFL game are you more excited about? The good one between the Dolphins and the Bills, or the bad one between the Broncos and the Bears?
Forgive me for saying this. I find the Broncos and Bears to be an irresistible game. I understand that the Dolphins at the Bills is going to be a more impactful game, a more meaningful game, a better game. But this week 4, Mike, they're good teams. We're going to see them down the road.
Yeah.
After this game between the Broncos and the Bears, they may disappear completely. It's possible if the Bears lose that Matt Eberflus disappears from the NFL immediately. They've lost, I think I have this right, Mike, you'd know better than I, they've lost 13 straight games.
13.
And it's
13
a margin. Margin of 190 points. Now, Sean Payton's not going anywhere except to embarrassment land for the stuff that he said about Nathaniel Hackett, how bad Nathaniel Hackett was. And he was bad, but I believe he was 2-1 to start last season. Sean Payton is 0-3.
There are some people, Mike.
Sean Payton gave up 70. And there are some people who think he's sort of looking to lose to get the number one pick, to get Caleb Williams. Yeah. Maybe that's true. But the season so far is a stain on his reputation.
I'm going to one of these games, so I better be more interested in the game I'm going to, because I'm not going to walk around with a phone with, YouTube television and the NFL Sunday Ticket to watch the other one. It's not. I mean, look, there have been some great games in going back, you know, historically between those two teams, between the Bills and Dolphins in the same division. But listen, Bears, Broncos, Tony, I will say this. For two teams that stink, I'm actually curious about how this is going to go down. Eberflus, by the way, is not going to be fired. He's not. That's not how the Bears family, the McCaskey-Hallis family, does business. That's not going to happen. Not this week, not next week, not if they're 0-7, not if they're 0-11. They're just, that's not what they do. But it's interesting because I want to see, can Justin Fields, this sort of proclamation, I need to play the way I need to play and enough of that other stuff. There's a lot of support for that, Tony. There is. Nobody's saying that Fields is playing well, but nobody's thinking he's being coached great either. Not in these parts. We want to see incrementally, can they get a little better? Can the defense do something? Can the Bears do anything that makes them look like they were once monsters of the Midway? That's what I'm interested in.
They were the monsters of the Midway in the 1940s.
Sean Payton is from right here. He's coming home. It's a homecoming game for Sean Payton.
Next.
Toss up, which college game are you more intrigued by? USC Colorado or Notre Dame Duke?
I'm going to be fairly brief on this one. I am more intrigued by USC Colorado, and not at all because of Deion Sanders. Not at all. Because I think I'm having the opportunity to see maybe the two best quarterbacks in college football.
Amen.
Caleb Williams was great at Oklahoma, and he has been great at USC. And Shedeur Sanders has been a revelation in the first four games that we've seen him play in a Power 5 conference. Notre Dame and Duke is interesting in this regard. I mean, Duke's a lot better than people expected. Duke is 4-0, going for 5-0, which I believe would be the first time, let me look this up, excuse me, since 1994, if they got to 5-0. And if Notre Dame loses this, that's their second loss, so they're done. And what would go down as well is, I believe, Mike, they have beaten in a regular season 29 straight ACC opponents, and so that streak would go down. I'll just add this about Notre Dame, because I didn't get a chance to say this earlier this week. If you have 10 people on the field playing defense, and the other team is making their winning touchdown drive.
And you have it twice.
That's a fireable offense. You may be able to fire the head coach. You certainly could fire the defensive coordinator. You certainly could. I'm done.
Tony, I want to see the quarterbacks. I want to see Caleb Williams, and I want to see Shedeur Sanders. Just like you said. There's no... You know, I don't know. You can go four spots down before I get to something I want to see that much this week. Because, look, they could be 1-2 in the upcoming draft. How many times you get to see that in college football in the season? So I'm interested in that. But I'm interested in Duke, Notre Dame as well, Tony. I mean, Northwestern plays Duke every year, essentially. And we used to own them for a while, and now they've owned us for about three or four straight years. And we play Notre Dame occasionally. But these are two teams that I grew up 91 miles from South Bend. And I've always had this relationship with the Irish where I respect them like the Cardinals and the Packers, but I hate them. And so I want to see Duke beat them. I don't know that that can happen, but I am really intrigued by both those games. But I'm going to take narrowly the quarterback derby in the Colorado-USC affair.
That's it. We'll take one last break. Still to come, will Zach Wilson prove Joe Namath wrong on Sunday?
Ooh.
I don't think so.
That's in your wheelhouse right there. Getting in your grill. We got a big game in the Pac-12 tonight. The Pac-12's got a lot of stuff. Pac-12's the best conference in the country right now.
And
I don't care what
Georgia's
ranked.
And it is dissolving. It is dissolving into the Pac-2.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 26th birthday tomorrow. Max Verstappen, the dominant Formula One driver, took last Sunday's race in Japan for his 13th victory of the season, two behind the record he set last year with six to go. Verstappen is on the verge of sewing up his third straight circuit championship. He's already fifth place in all-time wins with 48. Verstappen's father raced Formula One, though he never won. Max recently told Channel 4, quote, "My dad never said I was going to be a champion. He was always the opposite. He'd tell me I was going to be a truck driver, a bus driver. He was always, in a good way, I think, making me realize that what I was doing at the time was not enough."
Tony, how lucky is this sport to have essentially Verstappen go back to back with Lewis Hamilton? To have two dominant figures, like worldwide stars, icons. I mean, to go back to back like this, I think that has raised the profile of the entire sport for a lot of us who weren't paying attention, but these guys pull you in.
Happy anniversary, Ichiro Suzuki. On this day 22 years ago, the Mariners outfielder broke the Major League rookie record for hits in a season with 234, surpassing Shoeless Joe Jackson in the history books. Ichiro finished that season with 242 hits, a batting average of 350, and he won both Rookie of the Year and MVP. And if you think those numbers were big, three seasons later, he posted 262 hits and an average of 372. In all, the Hall of Famer put up 10 consecutive 200-hit seasons in the major leagues. And when his 3,089 big league hits were added with 1,000-plus he accumulated as a seven-time All-Star in Japan, he totaled 4,367.
Tony, he's right there with Pete Rose and Tony Gwynn in my lifetime. I mean, Rod Carew was great and won like six batting titles. But I mean, Ichiro, I mean, the numbers are so staggering. And he was 27 years old when he got here. Suppose he played the first 6 years, just six of them, in the major leagues. I mean, he just owns the record books. You can compare him with anybody all time ever.
He would. Happy trails to Bryce Harper's helmet. Last night, the Philly star went nuts after being rung up on appeal on what he thought was ball four. The umpire made the call was the often criticized Angel Hernandez, who then ejected Harper as he stomped down the line. Eventually, Harper headed back to the Phillies' dugout and flung his helmet over the protective screen and into the raucous Philly crowd. Multiple fans fought over it, but the father of 10-year-old Hayden Dorfman started the chant, "Give it to the kid," and so it ended up with his son, who later had it autographed by Harper.
Did he chant to give it to somebody else's kid? His own kid. I don't know if that makes him all that altruistic. By the way, you know, Bryce Harper, I know he's a great player. He's popular. He's charismatic.
He's all those things. Let's go to the big finish quickly. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. Questionable for Sunday's game against the Ravens. That's a big deal?
Yes. That's a division game, a division rivalry. Yes, it's a big deal. Colts quarterback Anthony Richardson cleared the concussion protocol, is going to start against the Rams. Is that significant?
Yeah, it's a home game start, but Gardner Minshew was very good last week. Zach Wilson says the Jets will do everything they can to prove Joe Namath wrong. Do you like his chances?
I don't listen to Zach Wilson. I just don't. Nothing he has to say. Nothing. Number 10, Utah. Number 19, Oregon State tonight. Who you got in the Pac-12?
If you tell me that the Utah number one quarterback, Cam Rising, is playing, I'm going to take Utah.
Yeah.
Last one, WNBA playoffs, they continue tonight. Who you got?
Look, Tony, I'd like a little drama. I'm probably going to root for that. But I think even on the road, Aces and Liberty win these games tonight. And so the Liberty series with the Sun will keep going. Aces will say enough.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Daryl from Comcast and Carlos from Verizon, shout out. Ooh.
I'm Mike Wilbon.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.